Just a couple of things I forgot to mention there myself. Please do remember our brother John Douglas as he testifies elsewhere tonight. The Lord might help him and use him and encourage him as he serves the Lord in that way. You never underestimate the power of testimony. And a word in season certainly is very often, just a personal testimony that is, it's very often what the Lord uses to make women really think seriously about their own standing and before the Lord. There was something else I had to mention to you. I've forgotten it. If I can remember it, I'll mention it at the end. If I don't, it mustn't have been that important anyway. I want to read one verse just before we have a short word of prayer together. We are in Colossians, as all of you are aware, have been looking at that. And Paul, in this chapter, has turned to, really, it's to practical Christianity and to walking and working and living before a world that has no real interest in salvation or the Lord. And it is very often, as Paul well knew, through the lives of Christians, through how they live, that men and women start to pay attention to them and to the message that they have. You know the background to Colossians, we've mentioned it so often now. There was a heresy known as Gnosticism. It was anti-Christ. It would bring Christ down to the level of mere sinful man. And it was something that could creep in very subtly. And you will remember that in the early part of our study in Colossians, I was thinking there of the first chapter in particular, where it speaks about him being the head of the church and so on. He encouraged or exhorted the people there to make so much of Christ. And that was so important. But in this chapter, chapter 3, it's how we live. And it's right down to the individual because, God willing, in the weeks to come, it mentions there the children, the husbands and servants and fathers and wives and all of that. And we all have to live before a sinful world. And certainly we do trust that the Lord will help us in the studies. Well, this morning I want to read verse 17. I didn't want to bypass this verse. It says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Let's just have a short word of prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we do thank thee, Lord, for all who've come along today. Thank thee, Lord, for giving to us an interest in thy word and thy people. And Lord, in fellowshipping together as we do now. And Father, we ask now that you would shut us in with thyself. Lord, we're very, very conscious that we live not only before a sinful world, but before a critical one. One that scrutinizes our words and actions. And yet, Lord, we can be enabled by thy grace to live in a way that will encourage men and women to consider what we are talking about when we speak about the gospel. And Father, we pray now that you would bless thy word to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Often in Old Testament times, a name was of such importance that God changed the names of certain people because of some important experience or of some new development that there was concerning them. Now, most of you will be familiar that Jacob, who means the name meaning supplanter or twisted person, which he was, the Lord changed his name to Israel, which means prince with God. And he was all of that as well whenever the Lord changed his name. There are other people, we think of Daniel, and Belteshazzar was the name there. And there are other people as well, and the Lord gave to them a different name. We pay very little attention to our names today, and I'm not sure, but my name might be something to do with a kern of a rock, because it is a derivation of the name Kieran, which is Irish, irrespective of what my mother might like to think. It is Irish, fully Irish, and there's no getting away from it. And we pay very little attention, really, to the meaning of names. And yet we have to say, brothers and sisters, that as Christians, when we are praying or even when we have finished praying, at the end we will say, "In Jesus' name." And maybe some of you younger folk, or some of the rest of you, have wondered, well, what really is the significance in saying that, that we're asking for something in Jesus' name, or we ask all these prayers in Jesus' name? Well, the answer is a very simple one. You bear His name. The name Christian is found three times in the New Testament, Acts 11, Acts 26, and 1 Peter 4. And if you study the name Christian, you will see that, first of all, it was given to those who were identified with Him. Now, it was given as from a heart of contempt, making fun of those who were Christ's ones, because that really is the meaning of Christian. But it became something that was a badge of honour. And that's what you have today, Christian, and so have I. You and I have a badge of honour when we are known as Christians because we are identified with Him. Now, to be identified with Him and to bear His name is a great privilege, but as we all know in life, great privilege usually brings along with it great responsibility. Paul has emphasized that to the church here at Colossae. You see, even if we just mentioned one verse, verse 11 of chapter 3, he says at the end there, but Christ is all and in all. Now, the enemies that were outside the door at Colossae, they did not want that to be the case. But every evangelical Christian ought to do their utmost to see to it that that is the case. And in trying to impress that truth upon those whom he was writing to, Paul says here, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a very solemn thought that all that we do or say is to be identified with Him. Every one of us, I'm sure, have said something and we wish you hadn't done that. We're fickle and feeble sometimes and weak and prone to fail. But this is the teaching of the Bible, and we are to aspire to adhere to what it shows us to do. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is showing the believers here also that the Christian life is not all songs or sermons. You know that last week we were looking at there about singing, and how, while some of us don't often sing in our own out loud, we have a song in our heart. Even when we're down, we have a song in our heart when we think of what the Lord has done for us. But the Christian life is not all, one of all songs and sermons. It is one of doing. And folks, here is something where we really need to get a good balance. Our young people, some of them will be going, all being well, on Friday night, along with Lisburn Youth, down to We Are Vertigo to have some enjoyment and some fun, and we're all on for that. Now, some people may take the view, well, there's absolutely no need for that. That's a worldly entertainment, and, well, what are you to do? Where does it say in the Bible ever that you cannot have fun? You know, that would be ridiculous, in my opinion. Now, there's people who would strongly disagree with me. Very strongly disagree with me, but it's getting the balance. There again, the Christian life is not all about playing games or having a bit of crack together. It's prayer, preaching, praise, and practical Christianity. And that, of course, is not counting out the time that you can have for recreation and those things which are important in many ways. But you know, in whatever we do, we're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to look at what it says there with you. The title this morning is, What's in a Name? What's in a Name? The apostle found it necessary to put this verse here in between what he's already said about charity, which was very, very important, about the peace of God ruling in our hearts, about singing. And he, in between that and all of the exhortations to do with the family there, he puts this verse and everything that we say in the weeks to come, God willing, in these verses, fathers, children, mothers, our husbands there, servants, all of that, this verse ties in with all of it.
But we want to look at the verse itself today. And as we look at what is in a name, I want you to notice first of all that we are to do all by the authority of this name. You see, Christianity is so different from all the other religions that you find in the world today. Many of them are focused or centered on some human person or some person of their imagination. And whenever it comes to Christianity and what we do it by the authority of His name. And as I thought of that this morning, we could probably have preached the whole morning on that. But there are some very, very important principles that are brought to our attention as we think of doing all by the authority of His name. Would you turn with me, please, in your Bible? I'd like you to turn to this one. It's Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. You may have known that this is a key passage. See, it's lovely whenever everybody dwells together in unity and no one falls out, and that is an ideal situation. Now, don't get me wrong, we're very thankful for the harmony here in Agalee, and don't take it for granted. We're very, very thankful for that. Every Christian is thankful for that. But in the world that we live in, sometimes things get a bit different from that. And this is the passage. It is called the Matthew 18 principle. If I do something in you, and it is wrong, and it is known as a trespass against you, here's what you are to do. Look at verse 15. It says, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That means if I had done something wrong against you and you come and say, listen, Kern, I wish you hadn't done that. You did this, and if I should say to you, well, I'm sorry, and if I've hurt your feelings and I've offended you, I do apologize for that. Or even if inadvertently I have caused you hurt, I'm sorry for that. And that shows that if I was accepting that, it says here, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And that's an ideal outcome. People make mistakes. We can say things on the spur of the moment and think, wish I hadn't done that. Wish I hadn't said that. I really shouldn't have said that. I disagree with that Christian brother of mine. I disagree, but I wish I hadn't been so harsh. I wish I hadn't said that to him. And go on, if that person comes to you and says, now you went over the top there. This is just an example, of course. And you get it all sorted out. That is the best outcome of all. But in the whole passage, we must look at all of it, brethren, because in verse 17 it says, and if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. That would be the elders. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him go unto thee, be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Here is the importance of doing things in a biblical way. Now, the world doesn't care about that. The world will sue you if you give them a dirty look going down the street, if they think they can get money out of you, or more or less. Seem to be living in a, while insurance is there and compensation is proper where it is deserved, there are so many farces when it comes to this, and people will be running to their solicitor to see if they can get any money. And even on a lesser extent, or on a different level, maybe we should say, when people fall out for life. And they hate each other and all sorts of things. But here's how it's to be done for the Christian. You're to come to me and say, Mr. Salt, you wronged me. You shouldn't have done that. And then if I did, I should say, I'm sorry about that. And you have won me then. And we get on with it. We let it go with that and we bury it. But if that doesn't happen, here's what you are to do now. I'm just bringing this to your attention because it is so important when we consider doing all by the authority of His name. You see, it's not up to me as a minister or up to the elders or up to the presbytery. It's up to the Word, and that is the Lord. We look on down. We've nearly finished this point. It says in verse 19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are met together in my name. Now, how often do we quote that in the prayer meeting? And that's good. But this isn't—it's not given in the context, really, of a prayer meeting. It's for where two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So they're met here to deal with this situation. It's a very, very sad person to be dealt with as a heathen. They haven't listened. They haven't come the way they should come. And they haven't listened when a person has come to them and they've come to the elders and there's been no, it just hasn't worked out. But it's all done. That's the important thing. In my name. In my name. And so it is, it should be with everything that the church does. This is just something I thought I'd draw to your attention because of the importance of it. But also over there in Matthew chapter 28 regarding the actual commission of the church. See what it says there? I fear I'm going to run out of time this morning again, but anyway, it says in verse 18 of the last chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That is true. "Go ye therefore." In other words, go ye therefore in my name. Go ye therefore, because all power is given unto me. "And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You see, the great commission of the church still stands, to go and teach all nations. But we don't go, and yes, you have Baptists, Free Presbyterians, you have people who are all sorts of different denominations. I'm speaking here of people who are evangelical denominations. We differ in things. And there's some things that we simply don't, we've agreed to disagree on. But the one thing we must agree on, if we're evangelicals, is that when we go out to reach the lost, we go in His name. Free Presbyterian Church, the Baptist, whatever it happens to be, will not save you. But it is going out in His name. And when you go out, John mentioned there the outreach starting again. It's not in Robert Mitchell's name or my name or anybody else's name. It's in His name. And that is the authority on which we go. And whether people turn you away or not, well, that is a matter for them. But the commission to go is to go in His name. The Bible has something to say about the various responses that there are, but it doesn't anywhere say don't go. Whether it's preaching in the church, any of the outreaches of the church, or the general ministry of the different parts of the congregation here. But I must move on here very quickly. When people know that you're a Christian, you see, there's almost always a response. You go into a new place of work, and you could say, "I'm a Free Presbyterian." People say, "Well, but see the name Christian," and I know that people use the name Christian in a whole lot of areas today where it's not true Christianity. But mention that name, that badge of honour that I mentioned to you, and right away there will be some kind of a response from most people to you. They'll be having their own thoughts on what they expect, and some of them will have questions, and they will be contenting themselves perhaps just to watch for a while. And brethren, to see how you live. But there will almost always be a response. Now over in John 15, it says there, in John 15 verse 20, it says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Now, these are not that comfortable a reading really. "That have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake." That's why. It's not, you can be a pleasant person, and I'm sure you are. You can go out away out into the farthest lost tribe that you can find and be a very pleasant and helpful person, and they can still persecute you. Here's why they do it. Generally, here's why they do it.
Here's why people in Northern Ireland do it. It's not that you're not a good neighbour, or you're not one who speaks to your neighbour or would do something for your neighbour, but it's they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. That's it. It's because of sin. And they're out of Christ. And yet the Christian today, when it comes to dealing with each other, it's in his name. You wrong me, do something wrong, and if I come to you and say, I want to speak to you about that, you shouldn't have done that. It was out of order, completely wrong. You say, sorry about that, I shouldn't have done it. That's it. But if it was a serious issue and had to be brought on head further than that, we do it in his name. All of our outreach, all of our preaching in his name. Here the context is of trouble and persecution out in the world and really being rejected. It's in his name that you're being rejected. Because of his name, I should say, that you're being rejected. And what are you to do? In all of the broad spectrum of Christian work, what are you to do? Well, the Christian life, I'm not speaking here even of the word, the Christian life is to expose sin. There was a theologian, I think he was a theologian, a preacher anyway, many years ago, I think he was called Finney, and there was a time when he was greatly used of the Lord. And he went into a place of work somewhere, there were lots of men around there, and just as he walked down among them, they broke down and wept. He didn't say anything. But there was a man, and I know that some people will get carried away with certain situations and stuff and say, oh, you could just see the presence of the Lord. But you are to see Christ in the Christian. And just as this man was walking among the people, they broke down and they cried because of their sin. You see, the Christian life can expose sin. Shy Christian, person who you would never give yourself to. You have a great love for the Lord and for the souls of men, but you wouldn't give yourself to talking to people in the door because you can't do it. You're too shy. Or it's just not you. And I'm a Christian long enough to know that there are certain things that I can't do and there are certain things that other Christians are not comfortable doing. And that is perfectly normal. But your life can expose sin because it makes people think there's somebody who is different. The Christian life can expose sin, exalt the Savior, and exhort salvation. And maybe today you naturally fear this doing that I'm speaking about. Remember we said that Christian life wasn't all songs and sermons. It was a life of doing. And well, it says there, the apostle made it clear, whatsoever ye do in word or deed. We're doing in word and deed all the time. Talking to people. Meeting with them. We do it by the authority of his name. And folks, when we stick to that, the Lord will encourage us whether people are changed or not, because we're doing the right thing and we're going forward in his name. And it'd be wrong for me, and I also say it's wrong for any other Christian minister or otherwise, to get a bee in their bonnet about something and to go forward with that and to try to win people with that. The Bible doesn't show that. We go in his name. Our authority is his name. And that is what Paul here is really impressing upon the people at Colossae. So there is, we are to do all by the authority of his name, but we're to do all by his strength, because that leads on to something else. How do we do it? We're to do all by his strength. I would like you to turn, please, to one of my favourite passages in all of the Bible. It's 1 Samuel chapter 17. A lot of lessons to be learned from the life of David. I believe that it has been studied in some degree anyway in the Sunday school here. And David was one who, before he ever got, we all know him as the man who conquered Goliath. Even the world knows that. And they speak of him, David and Goliath and so on. But before David ever got to the battlefield, he had so much to overcome. Brothers who discouraged him, those who sought to speak down to him, those who were obviously jealous of him, and all of those things, folks, that you will still have to face if you want to live for the Lord. Probably most of you know that if you have nice things, some people will be jealous.
Not everyone, of course. I'm not jealous of you. And there are plenty of other people who are not jealous, but some people will be jealous of you. And whenever we look at what the other things here, there are some people who talk down. Some people would talk down to you. Some people would seek to discourage you from doing anything from the Lord. And you listen to that as well, young Christian. We've mentioned this morning Rachel, a great young Christian girl, now the head girl in Lurgan Junior High School. I know some people would think, well, why? Well, she's there, a light for the Lord, and can have a nice way with people and can have a winning influence upon who knows how many out of the hundreds that go along to that school. Some people would be jealous. Some people would talk down to you. Some people would try to discourage you. So it was with King David. So that much hasn't changed. But I want you to remember verse 45. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. It says, "Then said David to the Philistine," that is to Goliath, "Thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." You see that? "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." All of the strength and enablement that he needed on that occasion, and indeed the faith that he had to go with his sling and his few stones, was all from the Lord. And folks, as you, whether it is in a position in society or in school or indeed anywhere, all that we do it in his strength. And before all of the world, we look minute. We're like David with a sling facing a man of war, armed to the teeth. And we seem as though we might not make any impact at all. But here's how we go forward. Here's where we get the strength. It's from him. "Coming, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." The whole world nearly defies the Lord today. And yet the Christian can go forward in his strength and in his name. You can hardly imagine a more different situation with David. He's just a boy at this stage. Goliath is a hardened warrior, mighty lump of a man. And even his brothers here were thinking, instead of trying to attack them, there was that wee thought in their mind, well, at least he look a bit more faithful than me. Maybe Saul was thinking that way as well. But he went in the name of the Lord. And where you are, remember the little words of the hymn again, "You in your small corner and I in mine." You should thank God for the small corner, because in the great scheme of things, we're all small. And the Lord has put us in a small corner and given us something to do. And in order to do that, we've mentioned some things to you earlier on, doing everything by the authority of his name. Now, we didn't mention all that there was, but some of the things. Going forth with his word. When people come out against us, remember we mentioned the persecution because of his name. How do we do it? We go forward in his name. So far from running away, Christian, you and I are to seek the Lord for strength and to seek to go forward in his name. So we do all by the authority of his name. We do all by his strength because of his name. But what we do it to point others to Christ. God works, as we've noted there with David, on the part of the believer. You think, I just thought of this when I was preparing the message. You think of some of the mission fields of the world and what our missionaries have been involved in, and not just ours, but other evangelical missionaries as well. They've established hospitals and clinics and schools. Think of Bill Woods, for instance, of what he did in going out to cure leprosy. And that was a physical need that the people had, but how many people have won to the Lord because of that? Because of what he was able to do. Really what I'm saying is, these missionaries, and hopefully us, are showing the reality of our message. And folks, I know that out in the world, the way people go on sometimes, talking here about their sin, they could make you angry. And you may come with the thought and saying, I can't let the children go there with them and talking like that. You can hardly go there as a family now. Look at the drink all around. They've absolutely no respect for the family. Just thinking of their selfish selves. That's all true. It's all true. But let's read what it says over there in James 2:17. It says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works." Listen to this. "And I will show thee my faith by my works." See that? "I will show thee my faith by my works." Let's look over there at chapter 3, the verse 13 of the same book. 3 and the verse 13. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." You see, we are to show. We are to show men and women by our works that we do have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. The lovely verses over there in Ephesians 2 and 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then it goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So a Christian who does not want to be doing good works is almost a contradiction in terms. This is part and parcel of Christianity. That's why the Apostle Paul says to them here, he says, all that you do in word or deed, and in any given day we usually say and do a number of things before other people. And we do what we do to point others to him. So I'm speaking here this morning that perhaps a shy person or someone who just feels that I want to serve the Lord in a very background way. It's just me and I can't do anything else. That's absolutely fine. There's thousands of places for you. Thousands of those small corners for you. And if you're walking with the Lord, probably just where you are is the place for you to show Christianity by your life. Over there as well, whenever Peter was writing, 1 Peter chapter 3. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. Says in verse 1, and this is in the context of wives who have been saved and their husbands are still not saved. And I have known people like that always down through the years. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation." Or the word conversation means how you live. It's nothing to do with talking there. It's how you live. "May be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." When they look on your life, they see godliness and sincerity and something that they do not have. And very often that is the way they have been won to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's strange too that so often it's the men that are the hardest. How many situations are there with women who are doing their best in a home to live for the Lord, and of a husband who, well, he may be the best of a fella, and in other cases, he gives that wife a very rough time. And it says here to live in such a way that he can be won to the Lord. Now, if he continues and is completely unreasonable, that might never happen. But that is the general rule, that he might be won to the Lord. Speaking to a man one time at a wedding, and his wife was there, and he told me that he had been speaking to them years ago, her and her friend, and he said, "That's how I was saved." He says, "How those down the tomb are sitting there." He says, "How those two lived. That's how I was saved. Just their life and the way they lived. It appealed to me, and as I watched their lives, I wanted to be like them, and therefore I became a Christian as well." So, folks, in these days, in 2015, while not a lot of people want to listen to the word, we still must publish the word and go forward in his name. You haven't got an out-of-date message. You haven't got it all wrong. You've got it all right.
when you're going forward in His name and in His authority. But we must also show. We lean on Him for strength. We want to point others to Christ and by showing them. But I want to look at this passage again, if you would turn back please to Colossians and verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, that isn't the end of the text or the verse. It says, "giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." We are to do this doing for the Lord with prayerful thanks. See, a life that is lived active for the Lord, going forward in His authority, relying on His power, marching on in His strength, will be a life of gratitude. You'd like to see more happening with your family circle, with your village here in Nagalee, but you've still plenty to be thankful for. And your heart is still filled with thanksgiving. In this short letter to the Colossians, Paul places great emphasis on thanksgiving. It's important that we do as well. And you will see there that as he writes to them in chapter 1, and I'm going to be very quick here. In chapter 1, you will see there in verse 3, he says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Here he's putting down a marker and saying, we're thankful for you, our colleagues. And brethren, we should be thankful for each other. I'm not saying that all our personalities will knit together in everything, or we'll all agree on all of the same things, but we love the fundamentals of the faith, the gospel of Christ, and we should be thankful for our colleagues. Thankful. Very thankful for them. And Paul here, right away, he's saying, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. If you look there in chapter 1 as well, in verse 12, it says, "giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Please study that yourself in the context that is given there about being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. This giving of thanks is in the context of victory. You've had victory before. You've been battling. Maybe someone's been really trying your patience. And you've battled with it and you've won through. What about the joyfulness? Not a difficult one. So often the gloomy thoughts are there first thing in the morning and they stay there to bedtime. Take away your joy. Well, it speaks there of joyfulness. And then it says, giving thanks. The thought here is of that note of victory. That is the second time that thanks is mentioned. Over in chapter 2, please, and verse 7, it says there, in the context of the word, it says, "rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Here is giving thanks for the word's effect upon us. Sometimes God's word has rebuked me. And I'm sure sometimes it's rebuked you. Sometimes it has given me just the prompting I need to do something. Sometimes it has guided me very, very clearly in a certain direction. Sometimes it has told me to hold on a wee minute and keep praying about it. It has said so much to us. Here's giving thanks for the word's effect upon us. And folks, so that is the importance of being under the preaching of the word, whether it's here in the morning or the gospel meeting at night, or reading the word at home, that we might be able to give thanks for the word's effect upon us. Every Christian surely can say, the word has affected me in some way. It's helped me to hate sin more. It's given me a greater desire to, in ordinary life, be a pointer to Christ for others. I move on there to chapter 3, the chapter we're in verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in the one body, and be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. Speaking here of harmony and peace. Should be thankful for that always. So you can see what Paul is writing to them here about. Thankful for each other. Thankful for thankful for each other, for their colleagues in the work. Thankful for victory. Thankful for the word that builds them up. Thankful there for, as we've just noted there in verse 15, thankful for harmony and peace. Verse 17 is the one that we're at today. Thankful for the ability to serve Him in word and deed. Thankful for all of that.
And there's one final one over there in chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Study again in the context. We'll look at these in another week, all being well. Here is serving from a full and a glad heart. It's good to be able to do that. Not to do what you do because, well, it's my duty to do it and I have to do it this time and all that. I don't really. Doing it from a full heart. Whatever it is. Doing it from a full heart and a glad heart. And that type of praying, folks, and we want to finish off with this, that type of praying is well-pleasing to the Lord. In the Bible, that type of praying is looked upon as fragrant incense. Whenever you're praying right, and you are praying right, if you're continuing in prayer and watching and thankful to the Lord and you're serving from a glad heart, you are praying right. And over there, and this is the last reference, in Revelation 8, in the verse 4, speaking of prayer, it says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. You study that out and trace it through the Bible, you will see that Christian prayer is like incense. You and I are in good ground tonight. The Colossians were in good ground, irrespective of what was going on around them. And Paul puts this verse in, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in his name. Do it all in his name, giving thanks. So we go forward in the authority of his name, knowing the power that he can give to us, seeking to point others to Christ, by our lives, if not by what we say, and doing all with prayerful thanks. We had a great prayer meeting last Tuesday night with a very good turnout this morning as well, and we're very thankful for all of that. But we commit those things to you to see if you can help us in them. But brethren and sisters, remember this. The world is watching, and the Colossians were able to live well in spite of a difficult day. Pray for each other in all of your different areas. You may pray for young Rachel in Lurgan Junior High. But plenty taunting her, saying, oh, you're the goody two-shoes, all of that. You pray for her, that the Lord will use her as a light for himself there. Now, the next time we come back, God willing, we'll get on to wives there in verse 18. We do thank you for listening. Trust the Lord will bless you for your thoughts, for your hearts.